Welcome to Big Blend Radio's second Saturday Sunshine Stays show with the Palm Springs Preferred Small Hotels. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Big Blend Radio, second Saturday Sunshine Stays show. And I said second Saturday, but actually it's the fourth Saturday. We moved the show date because, you know, it's really cool. We do this with the Palm Springs Preferred Small Hotels. It's a wonderful consortium of independently owned boutique hotels, and they're all in the desert resort community of Palm Springs. And we're going to talk about film festivals and the film scene in Palm Springs today. But, you know, why we do this on the fourth Saturday is we're getting you all ready for their newsletter that comes out. It comes out every month. If you go to AuthenticPalmSprings.com and sign up, you will get to know everything that's happening. So I know we're talking about film today. So if you want all the events happening when you're planning your trip, you're going to want to get Boutiquely Palm Springs, which is their newsletter. So I'm going to bring our special guests on the show. Oh, I'm excited about the topic today. First, we've got Michael Green, who has been on the show quite a few times. Michael is a fixture in Palm Springs. Am I allowed to say that, Michael? He's a fixture.
Apparently.
He's a fixture. Yeah. He is the general manager of the Palm Springs Cultural Center. He is the chair of Palm Springs Preferred Small Hotels and also co-owner of the Triangle Inn. Do you want to give everyone the website for the Triangle Inn? Is it triangle-inn.com?
It is triangle-inn.com. Yes.
See, I remembered that.
Now
is it okay? psculturalcenter.org. Did I get that off the top of my head?
Yep.
Okay, I win a prize somewhere on this, but it's good to have you back. How are things in Palm Springs right now? Does it feel spring?
It does feel a bit springy. We just had a quick shower, believe it or not, which is going to continue to help our super bloom this year.
Oh, that is so exciting when you get super blooms in the desert and have wildflowers. And, you know, is the snow-capped mountains gone yet, or do you still have a little bit of...
Yeah, we're still still got snow in the mountains.
See, this makes it a good place for filming. So I know we're talking about the film scene, but have a lot of movies been filmed in Palm Springs?
In and around Palm Springs, lots of films have been done here ever since the 30s. You know, Frank Capra kind of got it started in the 30s. I don't know if he was the first, but he was certainly among the first to film.
Yeah, because all the stars were moving out to Palm Springs for a little respite and vacation. So they probably looked around and went, hey, let's write a movie so we can stay longer. That's what happened, right? I want to bring our next guest on the show, Beth Ellen. She runs the Desert Film Society, and you can go to desertfilmsociety.org. And she's also working to bring more French cinema into Palm Springs. So welcome to the show, Beth. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for inviting me.
We're glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the French cinema side, because I think sometimes French movies actually get left off the list of what's happening, even in international film, depending on where you are.
Well, with the Film Society, we realized whenever we presented a French film, we had a larger audience.
Oh, wow.
So I decided, I don't know how many years ago, it'd be nice to bring just a French festival to Palm Springs. So it was before COVID we started, and we had our first annual one. It was for a weekend, and it went well. And we did it again the second year, and it went well. And then COVID came along, and we couldn't do it. So just this past February, we brought it back again. And we had a wonderful turnout. I was thrilled with the turnout. And we're bringing in new films that have not played in the desert and are not scheduled to play in the desert. So sometimes it's the only chance to see them. You know, if you say, well, I'll wait and I'll stream it, they may never stream because they may never get U.S. distribution.
That's a really good point, because I often wonder what's going on in regards to, here we are with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, all these streaming services, which is great. But what happens to actually going out and watching a movie and seeing it on the big screen? I mean, a lot of people in homes have big screens, but I think these festivals, you know, it's a little bit different than you. I know Netflix has a ton, but It's not everything, right? And these are often specially curated. So I really want to get into that part of the importance of these kinds of events. Our next guest is an award-winning filmmaker, Theodore, known as Teddy Gruyot. Welcome to the show, Teddy. How are you?
Thank you very much, Lisa, and I'm honored to be here with such pillars of culture in the Palm Springs area, Michael and Beth.
They're fixtures, and that means you're one too. So everyone gets to be fixtures today.
I'm like a bolt and a screw. They're more like the structure.
Well, Teddy, you've got a festival happening right now as this airs. You want to tell everybody about that?
Yeah, it's the American Documentary and Animation Film Festival, otherwise known as AMDOCS. We're in Palm Springs, and of course, everyone knows, both Michael and Beth have probably dealt with this on other levels, that the Palm Springs International is the best known regionally. We're very well known internationally. We're an Oscar qualifying event, AMDOCS.
Oh, wow.
And so the industry is aware of us, and we continue to try to build our audience to thankfully through people like you. And this year should be pretty darn exciting.
And so it's mostly documentary film, and then you say animation. Is
Yeah,
animation
both.
growing?
Since our second year, this is our 13th season. We've been working on
Wow.
the festival for 14 years. The set Since our second year, we've integrated animation within the festival. It started out as sort of a complement to documentary. People like in Searching for Sugarman, for example, they utilized, instead of having archival footage the filmmaker couldn't get, didn't exist. He was an animator actually by some trade. And he included animation. I thought, that is bloody brilliant. And it's been utilized more and more now. Then we've discovered, as I went to different events in different countries that it had me as a judge, for example, animation festivals, that this is really an unheralded genre. And yet it's so important. Hollywood and others make quite a bit of money off of animation. So we thought we need to include it in our title. So it's not just a complement to documentary, it's its own false.
And documentaries, I've seen, I don't know if it's just with what we do on our shows that it seems like we're covering more and more documentaries, that genre is really growing just leaps and bounds. Have you seen that too?
Absolutely. With the advent of digital and people using phones, doesn't mean that there's necessarily a greater number of great films, but everyone has access now to the making of a movie. It's much, much easier and cost effective than when I first started. Everything was film. The exception was, like what you'd see with television cameras, if you could get mobile cameras that were video related, you would see documentary shot on that format. But it's expanded so much. The dirty little secret is someone must be making money, because if you look at, you mentioned Netflix earlier, and the Hulus and the Showtimes and the HBOs and the MTVs, they have very robust doc departments. And I don't, there are people that talk about the programming on Netflix, but I'd say 70% of the time when you're discussing it with someone in the gym or the restaurant or wherever, documentaries seem to be the subject that folks are focused on.
It's becoming more like an in-depth news channel in a way where people are out there seeking the truth in some ways.
There's a debate about this within the art form. It used to be that that was the formula, that especially with the North American creators, Canadian and Americans, they were following a traditional journalistic approach to making documentaries. And that has shifted now. A number of years ago, the expression they were starting to use was hybrid. So you basically t would take a subject who might be a real person, not an actor, but they were kind of acting out what it was that you thought was being shot contemporaneously. And then, of course, Michael Moore came along and really shifted everything, and it became hugely profitable, at least with his films. But people said, well, he's editorializing, even though everything he said was essentially true. But he got his slant. So it has morphed a little bit differently than just the traditional journalistic approach that it started out with.
It is fascinating to see, and going back to what we started to talk about at the beginning, the importance of actual festivals, and I want to speak to each of you about this. When you look at a documentary festival, the animation festival, in some ways, when you see, oh, festival, then it kind of, there's something in our brain that goes, oh, something's happening. This is, it's, not just another name on a next Netflix, playlist kind of thing. So Teddy, is it important to have these festivals to kind of showcase the genre itself, but also maybe get, names out there, the films out there to people that may not have realized that they existed, even though
Well,
we have so much right now,
it's a leading question, and it's a brilliant question. It's exactly what Michael and Beth are doing, what they fight so hard for, because so many films don't make it into distribution or traditional channels. And so these cultural opportunities, as evidenced by what the programming is at the Palm Springs Cultural Center at the Camelot Theaters, for example. This is what you get. You get a festival experience, whether it's live performance or it's film. You're going to get something that you would not see, for example, streaming. And you probably recently read there was an article that came out on a polling of consumers. 70% of the people are waiting now for a product to come through streaming as opposed to the in-person experience. Of going to the theater. So what these colleagues here are doing is vitally important to keep the arts alive, in my humble opinion. And it is exactly as you say, to have a festival experience. Not to talk too much, for sure there's opportunities. It depends on the festival too. For us, a lot of what we have is discovered. And there are others that might already be in distribution, like our opening night film, but we have a special event centered around, the director. But in general, ours are new films that haven't got distribution yet to those channels you were talking about. So some festivals are different, like the Palm Springs International. A lot of their content has already been out there. And that's fine too. It's dependent on the audience, what they're used to. But yeah, what Michael and Beth does is super, super important. And not every community has these opportunities. So Palm Springs area is very blessed.
Well, I love it because it's keeping the history of Palm Springs, film culture and the arts alive and moves it forward and keeps the past and the present and future all in one, bundle, which is exciting. Michael, going over to you at the Palm Springs Cultural Center, when you're showing, like when a film festival comes into town and is at the center, it's not just seeing the movies. Aren't there always other activities connected with this as well? So when someone comes to stay in a boutique hotel, see, I'm being good, because, well, no, it makes it a special weekend of, no, we're not just sitting on the couch and eating the same old microwave popcorn, and watching a movie. We're going out. We're going to go experience Palm Springs. We're going to go with maybe meet up with friends. We're going to go out to dinner, and then we're going to go watch this movie, have the conversations, but maybe there's other attend events attached. Does that usually happen?
Yeah, always. Of course, all of us market the different festivals regionally pretty heavily. And then Teddy markets his festival internationally because there's a tremendous amount of international content. And all of us are
That's
bringing,
awesome.
as is the case with Beth's, but all of us are also bringing in industry. A lot of filmmakers and actors and people who are involved with the films actually come to town and stay at our hotels here in town. During the film festivals, there are always parties, get-togethers, receptions, industry discussions. All of those happen for almost all of the festivals that we're involved with at the Cultural Center. It's a big part of Amdocs. It's a big part of Cinéma Français and Cinéma Diverse, our gay and lesbian film festival. So, as well as, I mean, obviously the International Film Festival brings people from all around the world. And a lot of what they try to do is bring out the directors, bring out the stars who are in the films. So people want to go see a film may have, as was the case this year, may have already been screened in theaters, but they're bringing a different experience to the audience. They're not only showing it in a theater setting, but they're also talking to the filmmaker about what it went into making the film or talking to the actors who were in the film. So that's often what the audiences are just as interested in as watching the film itself, is that discussion about filmmaking. We have a fairly sophisticated film audience in Palm Springs because of all the film festivals that we do, and because so many people from LA have part-time homes here who are in the film business.
How many film festivals do you think happen a year?
Gosh, well, we do international in January. We have Cinéma Français in February, Teddy's Festival. Well, we do Jewish Film Festival in March. Teddy's Festival is the end of March, Amdocs and Animation. We have coming up the 25th anniversary of the Arthur Lyons Film Noir Festival in May. Then we take a break for a little bit and come back in the fall in September with Cinema Diverse. So all of those are festivals that we're at least one of the locations that are hosting it.
Now, what about independent, like just showing movies that may not be, there's going to the regular movies, right, to see whatever is happening now. But do you have movies that air at the cultural center that, hey, let's watch this classic and then, have a little discussion after or whatever kind of event tied to it?
We do a lot of retrospective films. We, we're doing several at the moment. We're doing screwball comedies, the films from the 30s, on Sunday afternoons, and we also have an Alfred Hitchcock series going on. And then periodically, we will do films that maybe a local filmmaker wants to show with us, or a specialty sort of film. We aren't doing first-run films anymore, because for us, we're not open 7 days a week, and not able to show a film 5 times a day, and that's really what the studios require to do first-run films.
But it makes it special too with what you're doing. It's
It really
boutique.
does. Exactly,
It's
exactly.
boutique film
And
showings.
also because we have three theaters, but the largest is the historic Camelot Theater, the first one that opened. And you can watch a film, I always say, the way films were meant to be watched, because it's a huge screen. It's not one of the little multiplex screens that's, just a little bit bigger than what you might have at home nowadays. So really able to see a blockbuster on a blockbuster screen.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm going to go over to you, Beth. Tell us a little bit about the Desert Film Society, how that got started, and I know you've got the French side of it, but what's happening but before the French part of it, because I know that's still a little new.
Well, around 2000, I had gone to the International Film Festival and I loved it. I thought it was just fabulous. And then I saw an article in the local paper that some people were thinking of starting a film society to keep the film festival feeling here 12 months a year. So there was a meeting at Camelot, and I took my checkbook because I certainly wanted to join this group. And I ended up volunteering to do the PR for them. And a few weeks into it, I walked into the theater one day, and J.P. Allen, who was the manager at Camelot at the time, he came up to me and he said, "Beth, the person who's going to find the films dropped out, so you find the films." And I looked like you just did. I went, "Wait, I'm not from L.A. I have no contacts. I have no idea how to do this." And he said, "I think you're smart enough to figure it out." So I went home. And I went on the internet, God bless it, and I found a list of distributors. And And I sent a form letter out and saying, we're starting this organization. I was looking for movies. And within seconds, one answered me. And he said, I've got a movie for you. And I responded, I said, this is really great, but I'm new at this. What do I do now? And he said, I send you the movies and you watch it and you see if you like it. And that movie was Lonely Sunday. It was the first one I booked. And to this day, I'm still booking movies from the same distributor from the NEMCA show. I've got this great relationship. So that's how we got started. People joined at the beginning to support us. At the very, very beginning, we weren't even showing new films. We were showing films that were already playing at Camelot the same week. They could have gone any day they wanted to see it. But to support this new group, people joined. And that was our base. And we just grew from there. We showed one movie a month. Now we show two every month. And basically, what we're doing is we're a film festival, but we're spreading it out over 12 months. So we're bringing in all these international and independent films that are not scheduled to play here. They have distribution in Italy and France and Venezuela or wherever they're from, but nobody here has picked up distribution yet.
It's so interesting to me about that. When you brought up Sugarman, Teddy, that hit home for me. I grew up in South Africa, and, you know, Rodriguez was, that was like Bob Dylan to us, you know. I
right.
mean, everyone knew it. I mean, in high school, and we didn't care how, you know, age, anything, we all knew him, and nobody else knew him. It was like, but it this one channel of distribution happened, and that's a really good point about, you know, now finally someone found him. You know, and then he ended up returning to South Africa and performing for like all of us, these fans. And I never got to see that because I was here. But
yeah, after the film became famous, I actually saw it because I flew to Michigan to Michael Moore's Film Festival, trying to solicit Michael to come to our event for 13 years now. The opening night film was Searching for Sugarman, and the studio executives were there, and they're protective, you know, no cameras, no phones, etc. You know, all the guards running through the theater, similar size to Michael's. And I whispered to the person next to me, because you could feel this amazing energy. And I said, I haven't seen the film yet, but I bet Rodriguez, because he was from Michigan, right? Detroit. And I said, I'll bet he's going to perform. I bet he's going to show up and surprise everyone. Everyone will poop their pants. And sure enough, he went on stage and played afterward. So then we did a special screening at the Camelot, which I want to, the Palm Springs Cultural Center. I just want to reiterate as a filmmaker to tell you what Michael and Beth and our community get to experience, as well as all of our international industry guests. What Rick and Rosine Supple did in that theater, they didn't just take it over. They spent oodles of money, but in a very creative way, because the sound in the picture in the theater one is really some of the best that I've ever experienced as a filmmaker. And I've been all over the world except Antarctica. And it is really one of the best. So the community is not just doing sort of a lazy lunch experience with, oh, is that film going to be out of focus? That's still a fun festival experience. No, they're screening films in a spectacular environment. So they're really blessed. And that's because of these patrons of the arts, the Supples, that gave to the community with this amazing venue. And I'm saying that sincerely as a filmmaker. I'm not talking about the management side of a festival. So I just wanted to reiterate, and that was when you brought up Searching for Sugarman. That's what prompted me to remember that, because we did a special screening. We had his agent, who lived in South Palm Canyon or something, his music agent, came to the screening. So we tried to have a tie-in, because the director, who was a friend, I think he had just committed suicide. Anyways, and Rodriguez wasn't going to be able to come out. He was probably in South Africa performing for you.
You know what's interesting about that? It shows the distribution, and this happens with musicians all the time. Like, a lot of our blues musicians and rock musicians go overseas to Europe all the time. And it's this weird thing. We're always like, well, what's going on over in Europe? Where, what's going on in this country? Why, you know, they tour this country, but it seems like Some musicians are bigger in other countries, and it happens to do with distribution. And so when we talk about film, it connects me with me on that level of, have you seen this movie? It's really good. Like, I've seen movies that people have no idea what I'm talking about, and I didn't know. I mean, I grew up in South Africa, and The Exorcist was banned, so you know what I mean. So one of the first things we ever did when we got to this country was watch The Exorcist, and the Rocky Horror Picture was banned too. And the year we left, they unbanned the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and we were all very happy. But these things happen, and venues are huge. For musicians, they will go to venues because it's a good venue versus another venue that could be a multi-million dollar fancy, thing, but if the acoustics isn't good, why go, right? And it's
Yeah,
the same thing with what you're saying.
if you have that reputation, most of them still want, a chunk of change.
Sure.
If you've got this Austin City Limits type of reputation, you can get away with that. It's true.
Wow, it's exciting for Palm Springs. And so I want to ask each of you, what was the most recent film you've watched in Palm Springs in a public venue, whether it's a festival or out at one of the showings or screenings, we should say. So let's start with you, Teddy. What was the most one of the most
Oh, you
recent
have to
ones?
start with me.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I have to think about it to be completely honest with you.
You
I
can't
look
say
at over,
Sugarman.
well, because I'm reviewing over 2,000 films a year, and eventually
Dang.
I see it at Michael's Theater, but it's hard to think. I don't know. Maybe I saw, well, that, oh, Public Place. But where I last watched films, the last place was in, actually, Public Theater was in Poland, where I was a judge at a
Hey.
festival. But I went and saw a lot of the Oscar nominated films. It was a very, very big festival, and so they had a lot of these hot shots there. But yeah, I saw May, December. I saw Napoleon. I saw, a lot of the top films from this season, and then a lot of indies that never got anywhere too.
Oh, there's so many. And when you have these kinds of festivals, and there's judging and winning and awards, it really helps independence. Like, hey, even just to get media attention, it's like, hey, this film festival is fantastic because of these qualifications, and then it's me, and I've got my little my little logo on the actual poster and things like that. So it really helps to get media attention by the number of places you've even been viewed, right? Not just award winning, but just because you've been seen in different festivals. I think that gives you some notoriety, wouldn't you say, for up and coming filmmakers.
I'm not the publicist, but you're absolutely right. I know both Michael and Beth are specialists in that area. I can tell you that the publicist is basically as equally important now as the directors, as far as when a film has the distribution, or if they haven't secured it. The publicists are huge.
It really helps. We've got the internet and all the streaming, which is fantastic. However, it's a big sieve with a lot of fish in there, when it comes down to it. So, Beth, for you, has that helped a lot for filmmakers, from what you've been doing with the society, the Desert Film Society? Your help is, have you seen that kind of turnover for them that they've been seen?
I think so. Just 2 weeks ago, we showed a film called Drift, and I had seen it at I forget names of places, but Sundance a couple of years ago, and I was trying and trying and trying and trying to get it for the Desert Film Society, and I finally got it booked. And then turns out one of the filmmakers lives here in the desert, and he called me up and he said, "You showed my film. I want to invite people from my country club." And we started chatting. I said, "You know what? I met you at your club once." So he invited his club members. It was like 2 weeks ago, an incredible turnout. We got lots of publicity about it. And in fact, the lead actress was a presenter on the Academy Awards
Oh,
recently.
wow.
So it was a great, great morning. So yeah, it helped him. It helps,
Oh,
definitely.
that's great. So is that going to be your movie pick, or do you have a different movie?
Well, you asked like which movie we saw in a cinema recently. So I'm stepping away from the film festivals. I saw Perfect Days last week, and it's a Japanese film about a guy who cleans toilets in Japan. And I've been to Japan, but never remembered how beautiful the toilets are, the public toilets. It was a great, great movie. It should have been nominated for Best Foreign Film. Didn't quite make it. But yeah, there's still some wonderful movies out there that you can't sit home and say, I'm going to wait for it to stream because that might never happen.
I that's such a huge point when you talk about that, you know, that it may never happen, but in supporting these festivals and going, you're having this intimate and very authentic experience, right?
Right.
Hashtag authentic Palm Springs.
Yeah.
See, I'm sorry, a little promoter head here, but honestly, I think when you go to these experience, it's an experience. And I think one thing we all learned from COVID was, man, if I want to watch a movie, I want to do it outside my house. You know what I mean? And you want to have an authentic experience. We all understand the value of authenticity and a real, actual experience, you know? So I think that is fantastic to have these film festivals. What about you, Michael? What was one of the most recent movies you've seen outside of your TV?
Well, it's funny because all of us have been, and well, I'm just beginning to screen for Cinema Diverse. Teddy's just finishing up because his festival's starting up. And Beth is always screening for hers. So we're always watching independent films. But
Okay.
interestingly enough, the last film that I watched at the Camelot Theater was a film that Teddy has in his festival coming up. It was called Show Her the Money. And it's about how few women participate in financing, major financing. It's only 2% of women get any sort of major financing. So it's a fascinating story about women who have managed to get, you know, venture capitalists to pay attention to them and invest in their businesses. So very well done film. I'm excited that it's going to be at Amdocs.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I didn't know until a couple weeks ago that it had screened because we probably would have allowed another film to take its place. Michael said, right, it's terrific about entrepreneurship. We love to have these kind of motivational stories when we can get them that are well done. And of course, one of our implicit themes is women's empowerment. So this film really represents that. And I guess Sharon Gless was at your screening. I think she's one of the producers of the film. So I'm guessing you guys did very well. So maybe she let people know there's a retrospective screening of it.
Absolutely. This was mostly a private screening.
Okay.
I in fact had suggested she not do it because I knew that she had submitted to Amdocs and I was hoping. So,
I was teasing, but generally we don't screen films unless it's a retrospective, if they've screened within 70-mile radius. Yeah, because that means for us, there's so many filmmakers when you talk about the indie scene that if they've already screened in Riverside, for example, that's close enough. So we tend to say, you know what? Overriding factors, we'll try to invite someone else. You've already had an opportunity locally. That's
Yeah, that
sort of
makes sense.
the way we look at it. It's not always fair, but it's sort of as fair as we can get.
It's also
But
though, because we're in a smaller community. I mean, we're not like in LA, or a large metropolitan area. So it's really very important to show new films that haven't been seen, because you've got to be able to attract audience. That's a big part of it for us, all of us.
Yeah. One thing I want to go back to where you were talking about women's empowerment being a theme of Amdocs, but also I want to go back to you on that, Beth. As a woman in the film industry, do you think we're getting better at it? It seems to me that women are starting to be, we're getting more directors, more owners of actual studios. Are you seeing a growth in that? It is Women's History Month, I'm just saying. So we're making history.
Well, I don't know if we're getting better at it, but we're getting noticed.
Okay,
think
that's
that's the
important.
difference, you know, where we have all these women doing things and nobody paid any attention to them.
Or paid them as
And now,
much as.
right, and, or hired them. But now you see, they'll say, oh, we're having a festival. And in the blurb, it'll say, and 23 movies are directed by women. They throw that in. So it's getting more recognition, definitely.
That's fantastic. And hopefully, like I was saying, the paycheck comes with it as well. The increase of, that. I think it's getting, when I say better, I mean better in the industry recognition,
Well, it's more than that. You were onto something. Sorry to interrupt, but at least for the two film genres that we have, because when you talked about earlier about documentary, and I mentioned the digital opportunities that are afforded, even though that can still be very expensive, but it's so much different as far as women being able to get closer to where this level of equality exists. It other, you know, with the Me Too movement in the last 7, 8 years, there's actually a directive in the studio system, the network system, but they were even tried to apply it to the festivals, that they wanted us to sign a sort of a memorandum that we would try to do 50-50 as far as female directors. And
Wow.
I look back, and this is actually a compliment because I look back at our history of not just submissions, but those who have been picked, which is like getting into an Ivy League school. I kind of say it's akin to that. I look back, and we already had, without having to sign this letter of understanding, we already had about 50, sometimes more percent of
Wow.
women directors for both animation and documentary were already a part of our Amdocs family.
Wow.
And then we also, as Michael knows, we also have a film fund pitch competition, which now we've taken internationally. And this last year, I had to go to Czech Republic because we were partnering with a festival there. Of the 10, and I'm telling you the truth, and it wasn't planned. Because I don't look at the, by the way, when I first review the films, the festival directors can do whatever they want, or the programmers, artistic programmers. I don't look at their background. I don't look at any of that until after I've gotten into the film. If I'm kind of interested, then I'll look. But it's not a, it doesn't push me to say, oh, I'm going to take that film because they're from South Africa or New Zealand or whatever. It's first the film, the story.
Yeah.
But for our film fund pitch competition, out of the 10 contestants, 9.5 were women. And I say 9.5 because one of the films was co-directed by a guy. So all 10 films that were part of our competition were women. It was interesting, every single one of them. And we didn't go out of our way to do that.
That's awesome.
So it is awesome because maybe women are not just getting equal. Maybe they're better than the men. I don't know. They, and like
I
Beth
think
says, they're getting more recognition for sure. But
it's
it shouldn't
about
be just because of
recognition.
the demand.
Yeah.
I do think it also goes back to that point, though. I think probably all of us see as many, if not more, film submissions by women for our individual subjects because the cost of entry is much lower. And because still, and I know we've made progress, but still, women are not getting the funding for major films that men are getting. And so I think when you're looking at independent film and you're making film selections for festivals, you do see a tremendously bigger percentage of women directors.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. They're trying to overcome those old-fashioned male odds. And with independent films, they have an opportunity to try to break through that glass ceiling.
That's awesome. It's awesome to see. You know, it really is. It's interesting doing interviews. I'm seeing more and more like a woman and a guy, you know, just it. I'm seeing more like a more unity, actually. And I think that's exciting to see. And I think America's also changed in where movies are being filmed. You know, it's not just LA all the time either. You know, Atlanta's really huge. Louisiana's really huge. And it just depends on tax incentives and locations. But
South Africa is really huge because
Well,
of
it's
the
beautiful.
exchange rate, and they look to make sure that they've got great production value as far as quality of below the line crews. So quite a few Hollywood productions that will go to a place like South Africa, not just New Mexico.
And they've got palm trees there just like you do. But you guys, but that's, I think what's interesting, Palm Springs is still so, you've got such an interesting location for films being made to me, you know? Do any of the hotels get involved in that, Michael? Any of the boutique hotels become like part of a set at any time?
Definitely. I mean, lots of them end
Ooh.
up being because lots of them are scouted from location people out of LA, and it makes it very easy. It's inexpensive to come out and film here. And there are so many different styles of hotel that you can create a lot of different types of settings out
Yeah,
here.
because you could go back in time too. Yeah, pretty easy. Wow, very cool. I'm so glad you all joined us on the show today. Everyone, we are here every fourth Saturday, and you can go to authenticpalmsprings.com to learn more about the hotels that you can stay in when you go to one of the film festivals or when you go to Palm Springs. Go catch one of the screenings of these independent and not all independent, but these movies that are being shown out there. So all the links are in the show notes. Of course, go to authenticpalmsprings.com. And if you're on social media, you can go to Palm Springs Stay. And go keep up with Michael. Go to triangle-in.com for his hotel and also psculturalcenter.org. And also keep up with Beth. Go to desertfilmsociety.com and excuse me, .org. And also for the Amdocs Film Fest, it's on right now. If you're listening as this airs every fourth Saturday, it airs the 13th annual one is March 21st through 25th, 2024. If you miss this one, next year's the 14th. So go to amdocfilmfest.com. Thank you all for joining us.
Come down to the theaters. We'll have the box office. They can walk up and buy a program ticket.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for our Big Blend Radio Second Saturday Sunshine State Show with the Palm Springs Preferred Small Hotels. Visit us at bigblendradio.com to keep up with the shows and plan your Palm Springs vacation. Go to authenticpalmsprings.com.